got sick.
You got sick?
Yes, in Bombay.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually Srila Prabhupada said that I want to get better as long as I stay in Bombay.
Okay.
So I came to America and spent maybe 2 weeks in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came here.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me a room downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't able to move around much, but Srila Prabhupada came down and even suggested a remedy.
For your ailment?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I tried. And then another devotee came, senior devotee, and he said, you know, you need something really strong to wipe this out. Know what you have. So I guess I must have, I don't know if he gave me something he had or if I went to some doctor. He gave me some very strong, I guess, antibiotic. It worked.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was able to, I was able to start to come up here and I was able to go on the morning walks.
Okay.
Yeah. And, it was a big thing for my family that I'd come back after 3 years in India. So they came. And my sister, I introduced her to Srila Prabhupada so very simply to her, to say, stay with the devotees, you won't be spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
But I was showing her the paintings downstairs,
mm-hmm.
and there's a nice one. It was where the Fate Museum is now. That was the temple room.
Oh, that was the original temple room.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And. Yeah, there was one real nice one of Krishna and Balaram and the cows, and I said, this is God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she understood it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had this, like, flash of realization. And she said, has Prabhupada seen Krishna?
Oh.
I said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
She said, oh, my God. So. And once I was up here, and Sri Dayananda Maharaj's mother came up to visit Srila Prabhupada.
Mm-hmm.
And Srila Prabhupada said, your son is very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Howard always was a good student. And then he said, usually, the parents don't think they have anything to learn from the children. But then he gave the example of Devahuti,
mm-hmm.
and Kapila Dev. Kapila Dev was her son, but she took instruction from him. So he said, you can do that.
Mm.
And there's a lot of preaching about the scientists. Bhakti Srupa Damodar Maharaj, at that time he was Swarup Damodar Das Brahmachari. But he was like a PhD student at UC Irvine in organic chemistry. He probably was training him present Krishna consciousness in scientific language. There's a lot of that. And then Prabhupada was also starting to talk about forming a political party. Mm-hmm. Some disciples wanted to be the In God We Trust party.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
There was some movement mm-hmm. in the American people that they shouldn't have that slogan, In God We Trust.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be on the money. It's like, what if you don't believe in God?
Mm-hmm.
So Prabhupada said, you know, we must capture the power before they remove it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so many. And then, you know, some devotees were thinking I should stay in America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, edit back to God, cultivate big people, preach in the universities. But Prabhupada said, I have too many friends in Bombay.
Oh.
They like to have someone that they know and they can relate to and they can speak to. So yeah. And this painting
mm-hmm.
Was done by the mother of a devotee.
Oh.
She also got initiated.
Mm-hmm.
And her name was Devamuti.
Oh, Devamuti.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you have time one-on-one with Srila Prabhupada sometimes?
Oh, yes.
A lot of times? Did he?
Yeah.
Forgive me if my question is not very right, but did he tell you about his interaction with Krishna? Personal interaction with Krishna?
Sorry?
Did Srila Prabhupada tell you about his experience of personal interaction with Krishna?
Well, when I very first met him in Boston,
mm-hmm.
I asked him what it's like to be with Krishna.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And he had I think his accent was stronger, and I wasn't used to his accent.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him what it's like to be with Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he said, it's inconceivable.
Mm-hmm.
But someone else who was there thought he said, that's confidential.
Oh, okay.
That's a big difference. Yeah. Confidential and unbelievable.
And both make sense.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
What makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, that's. I always wanted to ask this, but publicly I didn't want to ask that question. It's a nice atmosphere right now to us.
Hmm.
Maharaj, would you like to sit?
No, I'm
you okay?
I'm fine, yeah. Then, there are many things, but like I mentioned, it was like a big thing. I came from India after 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So my parents came, my sister came. And my sister was becoming very interested. She was staying in the community with a devotee named Kanka. And I told you, like, you know, it's Prabhupada from Krishna, yeah. So my parents came, and they got worried. And the same thing that happened to me happened to her. So they took her away on a little holiday
mm-hmm.
in the area. And then you know, sort of towards the end, they came back. But my uncle was very... I don't know. So my uncle, my father's brother, was a doctor. So he came, and I introduced him to Prabhupada. He was sitting right here. And it's hard to tell, but time sort of stopped with Srila Prabhupada. I can't even really guess how long it was, but maybe 12. Half hour. And my uncle
had very high ideals for the medical profession. And he was very upset with how materialistic doctors were. I don't know what he would say today.
I know.
He was like opening his heart to Srila Prabhupada and basically just expressing his disappointment with the medical profession. And talking about dealing with patients and different things. And Srila Prabhupada was just listening. I think in that whole, say, 20 minutes, Srila Prabhupada didn't say more than a couple of sentences. Mm. My uncle was saying how patients who are dying want to believe in an afterlife. And Srila Prabhupada was a little surprised because he thought they're going to pay for their sins in the next life. But I think they were, those people, patients, general patients, I guess were of the idea that if they accepted Jesus, then they'll go to heaven. But, I mean, I don't think Srila Prabhupada said more than a few sentences. Just listened with great empathy.
Did he give his feeling about it, that the medical profession is more business here or something? Did he give
his feeling? No, Prabhupada didn't comment.
He didn't comment.
And my uncle was like so taken by Srila Prabhupada. As we were getting up, he said, I've never met anyone like him before. You know, Srila Prabhupada hardly spoke. And he said, I've never seen a face like his. I must get a picture. Yeah.
So he got the picture?
No, we didn't have... We had to have like a camera to take a picture then. It wasn't like... Now we have our smartphones and take pictures. We didn't have a camera with us. Yeah.
Also, the picture will not capture those feelings which you can see in person. I said the camera would not capture those feelings that you see in person and the expressions that you see in person.
Prabhupada was saying he wanted a picture of your uncle.
No, my uncle
was also wanted a photo of Prabhupada. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure he got many.
But it's a totally different feeling when you're in person compared to pictures.
Yeah, I don't feel like that. I don't feel like that. To me, how I'm seeing you, Prabhupada interacts when you're serving. But everyone's different.
I know.
It's very personal.
Thank you. That was really nice. I mean, I always wanted to ask that question because obviously, whatever he was doing, he was inspired by Krishna. But was he kind of talking to Krishna and then giving it, or was he ever saying that Krishna said this to me, so you do this? No, he just.
Sometimes, occasionally.
He did say that Krishna is telling me to do this.
Well, there was once a conversation in the early days when Srila Prabhupada went back to India in October of 70. So for the first year and a half, he was just traveling around. We didn't have any temples. And somehow while we were traveling, I guess he was American, so he found us and joined up with us. He was traveling with us.
So you,
there
how
weren't
did you
many, weren't many American tourists in India in 1970.
Correct.
1971. But he joined our group. He was sort of becoming a devotee. And So he asked Srila Prabhupada, I mean, it was a whole discussion, but he asked, you know, if all service is absolute, why do we have to chant 16 rounds? And then he was saying, you know, suppose it's late and I haven't finished my 16 rounds and someone comes and I can make them a life member. You know, so Prabhupada said, you know, you can make him a member, but you have to chant 16 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, what if I'm too tired
mm-hmm.
at that stage?
Mm-hmm.
And Prabhupada said, well, you can, you know, I give you permission. You can, if you're so fond of sleeping, you can sleep and eat all day long, but you must chant your 16 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turned to all the other devotees and said, this is just for him. But he was still persisting a bit, you know, why do I have to chant it? And then Prabhupada said, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants you to chant 16 rounds. So he would on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what happened. That at that, you know, they're directly in tune with the Almighty.
Yeah.
They are directly in tune.
Yes, certainly.
Never had a chance to meet him, but thank you for. And where did you meet him? How did you meet him?
I was a university student
uh-huh.
in Boston,
mm-hmm.
and I was, you know, first I was looking for, I was looking for perfect happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Then I realized that I couldn't get perfect happiness by any material means. It had to be by some spiritual process.
And you were young at that time?
University? Yeah, 20.
Yeah. And you already started feeling that way. Yeah.
Yeah. So then, and then I, you know, I was reading books, and then I realized I can't practice a spiritual process without a guru.
Mm-hmm.
So then my challenge or my quest became to find a guru. And so I was meeting, you know, many so-called gurus, many long lists. But I wasn't satisfied by any of them. And I almost gave up hope. And then after, traveling, if I thought there could, I could meet someone who could be my guru, I would travel up to 1,000 miles for that hesitation by car. And then, amazingly, Srila Prabhupada was invited by the psychology department at my university.
Wow.
And I happened to be a psychology major.
Wow.
He was invited. But by then I was like so discouraged by being disappointed by so many. So, but there were posters on campus, mm-hmm. you know, Bhagavad Gita as it is, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And so that evening I had plans, I had other plans, you know, too. But, and I was so hopeless, I didn't think there was any possibility. But something inside of me kept, like, forcing me, you must go, you must go. So I went.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time I saw Prabhupada and the devotees. I did see devotees once, I think, doing Harinam Sankirtan in Union Square in San Francisco. I looked, I was sort of intrigued, but I was on my way somewhere. So I stopped for a minute, I looked at them. There was a big crowd gathered around while they were chanting. And I went. And I think I was walking down the street in Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco. And there was a tall fellow with shaved head and sika. Same thing, he was chanting japa walking down the sidewalk. So I saw him, but I didn't approach him, or he didn't approach me. So then, I went to that program with Srila Prabhupada, and afterwards, is anyone driving to Harvard Square or Boston? Because the devotees need a lift. They didn't have any motor vehicles. And I was driving. And I said, yeah, so if anyone's driving, meet us in the foyer, in the lobby. So I went to the lobby, and the first devotee I met was named Varadra. He's probably here or so to be here. He's ours. And, so I took the devotees they piled in. I had a station wagon, and I drove them to Harvard Square. And then I went to the temple the next day, and I asked a question. And by that answer, I was convinced that Srila Prabhupada was the perfect master whom I was seeking. And then I surrendered. And then.
But first time when you saw him, you didn't get that feeling, tuck, tuck, yeah, this is it. In your heart, like, this is my Guru. The first time you saw him.
Well. It was all combined together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he definitely had a different kind of presence. I mean, everything was different. The whole temple atmosphere, the devotees, everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when you look back, then, that feeling must have been, this is it.
No? Yeah. But what really, you could say, convinced me was his answer to my question. Yeah, it wasn't like that.
May I ask, what was that question? May I ask?
Yeah. By the way, I've written a book that has a fair amount of this in it.
Information,
Prabhupada and even some of the happenings here. But my question was that there are so many swamis and yogis, and each one is advocating a different process of self-realization, and each one says his is best.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So how do I know which is actually best? I mean, that was my question, because I've met a lot of
most intelligent and simple question.
Yeah. But his answer was more intelligent, because he answered with a question, and his question was, "What is your goal? Do you want to serve God, or do you want to become God?"
Okay.
Because every single one of the others was basically saying, you can become God, you can merge and become one with you. Every single one of them.
Correct.
So he said, if you want to become God, that means you're not God now.
Very true. Mm-hmm. Very, very nice.
Yeah.
I'll let you finish.
No, that's all right.
No, I don't want to cut you. I just wanted to know, and I'm sorry I interrupted. Sorry to interrupt. I just want to know, what is the very first instruction that Srila Prabhupada gave you directly?
I think it came in this answer.
Sorry.
I mean, it was sort of, come to think of it, yeah.
Yeah, he's finishing that part, really, I think.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That if you want to become God, then...
You're not God now.
Yeah, yeah. And
so how could not God become God?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Krishna is God.
Mm-hmm.
He's always God. He doesn't have to become God by practicing yoga or meditation. He's God when he's playing on the lap of Mother Yashoda. He's God when he's speaking the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. He's always God. He's substantially God. He said, you can become... Oh, yeah. So then, this is where I think there was an implied instruction. So he said, if you take the seed of service to God,
mm-hmm.
and water it by chanting Hare Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
That seed will grow, and God will give all the necessities that are favorable to make it grow. But it. And he said, God is in your heart, he will help you. But if you want to become God, why should God help the competition?
That's the... Wow. You know,
yeah.
That's
yes.
Really...
Quite a handsome.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So then he said, you know, you can become godly, but you cannot become God. So then he said, so what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to serve God or do you want to become God? Now, at that stage, I had the feeling that he knew everything about me. He could see straight through me, and literally I felt he was seeing straight through me, through the wall of the temple, down the road to my apartment. He was seeing into my apartment, seeing into my bathroom, where on the wall of my bathroom I had put a sign, a handwritten sign in my own lettering, mm-hmm. different colors lettering, that said, you are God.
Wow.
You
so
wrote that?
Yes. That was yours truly before I met Srila Prabhupada.
And he read that?
Well, I felt that
he
was seeing all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that. So at the end, when he said, so what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
You want to serve God or you want to become God? So I realized I couldn't hide anything from mm-hmm. him. But I was also convinced by them. So I said, I want to serve God. But I realized actually I wanted to become God. He said, yes. So then I surrendered. Then I put my head down. I surrendered.
Jai.
I found my perfect master.
Jai, what a beautiful... I mean, it's an amazing meeting of disciple and the guru.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, Vivekananda always knocking on Ramakrishna and all, you know, like, it's a kind of... once you... I feel they give you a feeling inside, something knocks in your heart that this is it. This is it.
Well, that's a very clear philosophical answer.
Yeah, but apart from the words, there wasn't there something in your heart ticking, you know, yes, this is it. You know, like you found what you wanted to.
Yeah, I did recognize.
The joy, the pleasure of having come across somebody you were looking for. And I think for gurus also it's the same. They also feel when they see a good disciple, they also feel good.
Well, after that,
mm-hmm.
You know, I would come every day.
Mm-hmm.
And the program was that Prabhupada would speak at the temple every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Mm-hmm. There'd be kirtan and a talk. And then Sunday would be the Sunday love feast. And then Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday he would speak outside, usually at a university. And the devotees didn't have a car. So when they saw I was coming regularly and I had a car, they asked if I would drive Prabhupada. So, yes.
Serving his people started right there.
Yeah.
Wow. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mataji, for bringing us here.
Yeah, we have mercy today.
Yeah, but thank you for...
Yeah, you were the instrument. You opened the door.
She opened the door, and our good luck and grace.
Yeah.
That,
I never thought of it, but I must thank my father, because he gave me that car as a high school graduation gift, and then that car did service to Srila Prabhupada, enabled him to make that service to Srila Prabhupada.
And your father gave you to Prabhupada, and he gave service to Prabhupada through you and through the car.
Yeah.
And all the devotees riding in that car and back up.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, to serve to your devotees.
Yeah.
Directly or indirectly. You were going to ask them?
No, I don't want to disturb our friends. I want, if it's okay, I want to know, how did Srila Prabhupada choose you for the Mumbai temple project? I mean, he just went through the devotees and said, you're the one for this project?
Oh, yeah. Well, so yes, after I was in the Boston temple for a year and a half, Srila Prabhupada wanted to return to India. And he wanted the number two person from each temple. There were about 12 or 14 temples then. And so Satsuru Kumar was the number one and I was the number two. Here's the temple. Here's the temple, like the temple commander, saying to the town leader and treasurer. So for the first year and a half, we traveled around India. And at that time, the main program became life membership. And that's a little instructive. So at the Mayapur Festival in 1972, Srila Prabhupada said during the British rule, they had three provinces, Bombay, Calcutta, and Madras. Which do you want?
Oh, whoa! Oh. Wow.
So I said, I never made any independent decision. I said, I'll serve wherever you want me to serve. You know, I'll do whatever you say. He said, no, I want you to decide. So I realized that he was forcing me to come to a higher level of Krishna consciousness where I could know what he wanted without him telling me. And later I read
that the third class disciple receives an instruction from the spiritual master and then he forgets or he grumbles and complains. The second class disciple receives an instruction from the spiritual master and executes it perfectly. The first class disciple knows what the spiritual master wants without being told.
Wow.
Wow.
So I realized he was like forcing me to come to a higher level of surrender where I got from within the heart, or you know, I could get the answer. So from Mayapur we went to Calcutta, and I always chant in front of the deity. I pray to the deities, you know, to give me the answer, but no answer was coming. Then one day I thought, I'll sort of trick Srila Prabhupada into revealing what he wanted. I went into his room and I said, you know, Srila Prabhupada, I was thinking maybe I should go back to Madras, and then I gave the reasons to see if he would like give some indication. Mm-hmm. And without any expression on his face, he said, "That's all right." And then I said, "But then again, I was thinking I should stay in Calcutta," and then I gave the reasons. Now the same thing, without any expression on his face, "That's all right." And then I. But by then I got the idea I wasn't going to be successful, but I'd already started, so I followed it through. But then I was thinking of going to Bombay, and I gave the reasons. And he said, "Same thing, no expression. That's all right." So then I realized, you know, I wasn't going to succeed in this plan. And I was glad, you know, that I couldn't
trick
him. Yeah. So he left Calcutta, went to Bombay. And somehow, while he was gone, this was still playing on my mind very much, it occurred to me that I should go to Bombay. Because our main program was like membership, and Bombay was the head office. And if we, you know, I reasoned if we took good care of the members, they would make more members, and if we didn't take good care of them, which was happening already to some extent, then they would complain to their friends, and then even if we approached them, they wouldn't become members. So I wrote him, and then he said, yes, you come to Bombay. But I was thinking I'll be something like the membership secretary. So I came, and then after, I don't think it was very long, within a few days I think, he had a meeting. Because Madhuvisa Prabhu had been the temple president earlier, and he had an apartment. But he wanted a change, so Prabhupada was sending him to Australia.
Okay.
And Prabhupada had called Brahmananda from East Africa to take charge of the project. But he was needed back in East Africa. But Brahmananda made some mistakes also. He feels that Prabhupada thought maybe he wasn't fit for the job. But Prabhupada said, you know, they're missing you in East Africa, you have to go back to East Africa. So then there was a big meeting, like who's going to take charge. And I didn't,
imagine it would be me, because I... So, you all came in Prabhupada's room. He was staying in one of the tenants' houses. And it was pretty tense, you know, no one knew what was going to happen. And then he said, so, Giriraj, you will take charge. And that was the last thing on my mind. My mind rebelled against it. But my intelligence, I knew it was my intelligence, you know, the secret of success in spiritual life is to follow the order of the spiritual master. So, I must have winced, you know, when he said that, and then I said, well, Srila Prabhupada, I'll do whatever you want me to do.
There you go.
So then...
But you had already made up your mind you're going to Mumbai.
Yeah, I did that.
I don't know, I can't read Prabhupada's mind, but it just seems like in how... Okay, I'll just say it. But it just seems like he wanted Brahmananda Prabhu to maybe go back to Africa so he could put you in that place. But he did it in a way by saying they're missing you in East Africa, or it happened the way it did.
I wouldn't say...
I think he is Mr. Rakibana? No, don't bring him. He can go down and sit in the temple. He can... Sorry for the interruption. I saw him tired. I'm sorry.
So...
That's okay.
No, you can't leave.
Okay. No, I just thought maybe I'll give him a chair.
Don't worry, he says it's okay. Okay, thank you. Sorry for that. So he...
Yeah, so then he said, even to this day, and he said, and he looked at me and said, so now the whole responsibility is on you. And he started to laugh. And I think, oh my God, I mean, doesn't he know how I feel? And now he's saying that, and on top of it he's laughing, and it's like,
wow. And you were all so young, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, 20s.
Early 20s.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess, along with the spiritual master tell you to do something, along with that instruction, he empowers you to do it, even if you never did it before and you don't
know what to expect. With the order... Of the spiritual master,
they give you the energy, they give you everything to do it, and give you the kind of the fame, name for doing what actually is getting done. Actually, it's his energy, his.
We're just the instrument.
Yeah. And you get the name, fame, everything, and he's the doer.
So what is your good name?
My good name is Goodman. No, my Madhu is my first name. Goodman is the last name. That's my husband, Mark.
Oh. My Goodman.
They've been here for years.
That's my brother, Satinder. Yes. Okay. He's living with us. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes. We used to have an apartment right behind for 4 years. And now we have a home close by, just about 2 blocks away.
Oh, that's very nice.
So this is extension of the home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or that
home. Your home is an extension of the temple.
I was going to say that. Yes. You're right. But thank you. I must thank her for being the instrument of bringing us here.
Yeah.
And I had I always wanted, but you know, I don't like publicly standing and asking questions and things like that. And
so this is intimate, and you can ask Maharaj directly.
That's wow. Once again, he's an instrument to you, and thank you.
Thank you. Otherwise, there is no answer without Prabhupada.
Very nice.
Well, it's unfortunate to have His Holiness here, Swami. So, the most merciful, I call him Mercy Personified. He doesn't know. I didn't think like I follow his instructions, but I'm always following what you write,
sure.
What you say. I hear your classes.
Really?
I read that. You just don't know that. And like you're saying, I don't make it a public thing, but my husband in the house here, he's like, oh, you love your life. And I'm like, yeah. Your writing,
your blessed.
His lectures, like every holiday, if it's Janmashtami or the appearance day, then I'll look up His Holiness Gira Swami and then Google him that holiday to see what he spoke.
Oh, thank you for telling me.
Yeah,
I
you
can
start.
Can
look it up. Very nice preaching.
But, you know, they seem so much close to the truth, whatever you're talking about. It, you know, sometimes when I also hear things, I, as you said, sometimes I rebel, you know, I have my own set thinking and my mind rebels instead of just accepting. But somehow talking to you, it connects with and relates to what I think. So that's, you know, because I kept asking about Guru, because that's how I don't have a spiritual master here in Hare Krishna, but I mean, the first time I met my guru, something knocked in the heart. I mean, that's what I can, gosh, I don't even know him. Why? You know? And then you start getting instructions, as you said, in your mind, and the energy works and it comes. So, and I can feel exactly what you're saying, that you saw hundreds and thousands, and you want same thing. So I can relate to, and you know, it's so close to the truth of my experience. So,
do you have any of Srila Prabhupada's books?
You know something. for me, reading is not much of a thing. I'm a housewife with the kind of responsibilities which take 24 hours of my day.
And she's here often.
Oh,
and so is her husband. Mm-hmm. And he comes almost every day. Your brother.
My brother.
Yeah, I always see him at the noon arti.
Yeah. He not only noon arti, he was serving in the in the library. Mm-hmm. He served in the pujari room for a while. Mm-hmm. So for me to be able to let them come, I have to be behind, staying back. And
that's good.
You can hear Maharaj's
class
while you're doing your housework.
Actually, today, not only housework, I mean, today in the morning also, we were hearing, we put on the internet,
mm-hmm.
and we were getting ready to come and all that, so we were hearing that couple who was telling their experience about paintings and all that.
Well, I'll give you some website to some of his talks.
Please.
Then while you're cleaning, cooking.
Yeah, put it on.
You also copy of books.
You have Prabhupada's book.
Oh, yes.
Books. No, she has books.
I had
it's
so
just
many.
Maybe finding the time to read is her thing.
I had so much.
She started hearing in Chinese.
I always had so much. We started bringing to the temple back so that somebody else can use it.
My website address is here.
See?
There it is.
I wouldn't have thought of
thank
giving
you.
It to her.
Thank you. Thank you. You will find those
thank
thoughts.
You. We're really blessed. Thank you. Thank you.
It's an honor and privilege.
I'm blessed. Thank you. You'll be here in LA for some time?
I'll be here until late tomorrow night.
Oh, that's it?
But I'm not that far away. I'm in Santa Barbara.
Oh, we were there 2 weeks ago.
So maybe when they have a program there, you can go.
That's a nice place to go to, actually.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. I come here to hear Laguna Beach.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Saturday, June 16th, they're having a Panihati festival in Laguna Beach. You know what the Panihati festival is? Well, it was a festival arranged by Lord Nityananda.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those holy days on our calendar.
16th of June?
Well, that's not the actual date,
mm-hmm.
but it's around then.
Mm-hmm.
So His Holiness Indradumya Swami is going to be staying with me,
mm-hmm.
Starting day after tomorrow until the 16th, and he and I are going to go down for that festival. It's Saturday. It's a good festival.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you can.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
I know, he'll have to. I don't drive that so he'll have to take
it. He's a good man.
Definitely. Because he's a good man, I became a good man.